T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Program. I want to remind you that the WBN Summer Stimulus word this hour is race, R-A-C-E. Rather awkward summer stimulus word. Text that word to 72881. We're talking about violence in the city of Buffalo. And we're talking about what really, I mean, again, to make the argument that this is something that can't be stopped is absurd. Everyone wants to pile on with suggestions about the culture in which breeds people that don't trust their government, that don't trust police. You could very well argue that there's a whole lot of white children growing up that don't trust the FBI and don't trust their government, and they don't live in the city. There are a lot of people that don't trust vaccinations and don't trust doctors because of the way that COVID has been adjudicated, and they're not African Americans. So just because you don't trust authority doesn't mean that you're predisposed to one ethnic group or the other. But when we were talking about gun culture and violent culture, I made a comment about an hour ago. Jen called in and she disagreed with it, but she was extremely intelligent and articulate and passionate. And it was a spirited back and forth. And so Jen's argument was, well, I'll let Jen make her own argument. Jen, you disagreed because you said that there are people that perpetuate the culture of thug life on the streets of Buffalo. Is that fair?
No, I'm saying it's a cultural difference. So during the break, I have a question. When you're mm-hmm. in the Middle East serving, and thank you for your service,
thank you.
What made that culture different from yours?
I've thought about this and I've given talks about this before. I think the biggest problem with the Middle East is the way they look at women. And because of the fact that there is no input from females in their culture at all, you have a completely backward society that has there's no hope of ever progressing in the Middle East if you're not allowing 50% of your population to be a part of your population. So I would say the absence of female authority and female, any sort of empathy and legislation from a woman's point of view is what is killing that culture and what creates the climate that you see in the Middle East today.
Okay, so a culture really, a group of people, their culture is different based on like food, clothing,
yeah.
Music, arts, customs. So have you watched
religion
Maze lately? David, that culture is Cardi B. Like, they encourage this. It's sexualized. It's violent. They have young girls, like, twerking, and it's a sexualized culture that has violence and guns. And you're making me crazy. I don't know how your arguments about Italians or some movies.
No, all I'm trying to say is that it's not my point is that without black teenagers buying that music, if only exclusively black teenagers bought that music, it would not be the number one music in America. The reason why R&B, that culture, all of the things that we look at as being connected to, thug life or street life, is really, it's white people that perpetuate that. It's white people who buy that. It's the movies that we watch. Not every Italian was in the mob. Very few were. Most Italians didn't want to have anything to do with the mob. And yet the culture was perpetuated by Hollywood and media as Italians are in the mob. Irish people are alcoholics and run, you know, whiskey during Prohibition. And black kids will all carry a gun, shoot you in the face, and their cars have hydraulics. And that's what black people do. And that is what white people go and see the movies. They buy the rap songs. You talk about Cardi B. It's not black people that are making Cardi B a multimillionaire. It's white people making Cardi B a multimillionaire.
Well, it's both, but here's the difference. Those are movies, and then the Italians didn't come home and, you know, get into a mob gang. And I'm just saying, like, I would challenge you to have your listeners, whoever calls in, ask them if they believe it's a culture. There's a cultural difference that they are inundated with, you know, their music, their way of beliefs as a young child. I'd have you even encourage any police officers to call. I just think, like,
but I'm just saying, statistically, Jen, statistically, if 5% of black young people joined a gang, we would need the 82nd Airborne to fight them. It's just impossible. Like, the numbers just aren't there to say that it's overwhelmingly that if a black society was left without any influence from any outside source, that they would naturally, because of a cultural movement, you know, want to run the streets and do whatever. But every single one of these neighborhoods was once run by Hispanics, and before that, Italians, and before that, the Irish. If you went back to New York City, in every borough in 1872, you were getting stabbed in the neck by just walking outside by an Irishman. That's how violent the mobs were in New York City in the 1800s. In the 1900s, before World War I, you had crazy amounts of Puerto Ricans, Cubans, you name it. There were violent thugs. L.A. had Vietnamese gangs that were killing people on sight. It was horrible. Every culture has had...
Why is it then most of the calls to police come from the East Side or some on the West Side? If it's everywhere, why is it...
Again, but I'm saying it's not... I'm not... What I'm trying to articulate here is that it's not the natural default of black people in 2021 to join a gang, and the vast majority of calls going to the East Side is because the city of Buffalo and the Buffalo police are absolutely paranoid and afraid to do their job because they don't want to be accused of being racist. That's why nobody is touching the black communities, and they're not doing it in Rochester. They're not doing it in Buffalo. They're afraid of being called a racist. They're afraid of what's going to happen when they have to shoot someone who happens to be black. If they shoot a suspect that happens to be black, you're going to have a riot. That's how messed up this city is, and that's how these race baiters have set all this up. But I'm just being honest with you and stating that a majority of that culture, every demographic has had some sort of glorious violent streak where they emulated people they shouldn't have. But the vast majority of black, quote-unquote, rap, sports culture, all this stuff. Listen, the vast majority of Antifa, these aren't black people that are joining Antifa. I'll make the argument that it's not even Black Lives Matter that's consisted of black people. The money from Black Lives Matter and the think tanks behind Black Lives Matter are white. They're white new Northeastern liberals that are funding Black Lives Matter, that are controlling Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter isn't even run by black people. That's how sick and twisted this entire thing. It's messed up.
I'm gonna throw you one of your favorite phrases. And I do ask you to ask your listeners if they think it's cultural, because I think you're so far off base here. I can't even believe I'm hearing it. But I feel like you don't have the intestinal fortitude that you love to say, to admit this and to say on your radio, there is a cultural difference. And that's why there is so much.
You're saying, so you're, I just want to set the record straight, because this is, we're crossing a new territory here. It's a new boundary. You're telling me that if left unmolested, a black person at by default in 2021 will cause violence and commit crime. Did you hear me?
No, I'm sorry, I didn't.
Okay, I'm saying, are you suggesting that if a black man, 18 to 24, is left unmolested in his natural state, is going to be more predisposed to violent crime and violence by the nature of being black in 2021 and being age 18 to 24? Do you agree with that?
Absolutely not. If he is not...
Okay, well then we agree on the same thing.
Yeah, I'm saying he's...
Right, but I'm saying it's not black. I'm saying... It is not black culture that makes someone more predisposed to violence. What makes people predisposed to violence is the absence of culture and the absence of influence. And the problem is that black people and the cities are so islanded from the rest of the world that any outside source that comes in that tries to disrupt or save lives or arrest bad people is automatically running in against the culture machine that will say you're a racist, you killed a black guy. Why did you kill a black guy? What was the reason for killing a black guy? Police can kill white people. No one cares.
If it's not culture, then I live in the city of Buffalo. I don't have that crime around me. I don't live on the east side, but I don't have that crime around me. I encourage police if they want to come here. And I respect the police, and I'm not.
But now, listen. Not all white people respect the police. Not all white people.
I'm not going.
But I'm just saying. It's get away from the ethnicity part of your argument, right? Because to me, it's too clouded, and it doesn't make any sense, and it's so easily to be hijacked by someone who disagrees with you. They could say Jen's a racist. Jen hates black people. I'm saying it's a pointless argument. The argument that should be made is that why do we emulate guns? Why do we emulate people who treat women as subjects and as sexual, you know, methods of pleasure? Why? Why do we do that? Why don't enough people have the courage to stand up and say, whether it's black violence or white violence, it's unnecessary. And when a bad guy has a gun in the street and a cop shoots him in the face, that is exactly why we pay cops. Why don't we have that? That's the argument.
Well, isn't the argument, I mean, if we're all influenced the same way and our cultural norms are all the same, why aren't we talking about Buffalo crime throughout every part of the city?
Well, again, what I'm trying to tell you is that there is a cross-section that has gone out of its way to inoculate any resistance towards violence or any resistance towards anything connected to African-Americans and put it in a danger zone that no elected official, no institution, no union wants to touch with a 10-foot pole. They will not. If you have a gun situation in the city of Buffalo, there is not a cop today with a camera on their chest that wants to take that shot. No one wants to be involved in that. In fact, you've seen recently at a rally where a cop had to kill a woman in a car. Right after he shoots that woman, he falls to his knees and starts emoting. A black cop is next to him, starts taking care of him, dragging him from the scene. They ask the cop, why are you so emotional? His response is, not that I killed someone. His response is, my life and career are over. That's what his response was.
Wouldn't have thought.
Nobody wants to do it. Nobody wants to do it because they know the consequences are huge.
Because if you shoot a black person, it's racist. You don't think that.
That's what I'm saying. Right. What I'm telling you, though, is that it's because of outside sources that have tried to manipulate this debate and make it about ethnicity and color and everything else. The bottom line is nobody cares about the city, nor have they cared about the city. They simply don't. We white people in the suburbs would never tolerate this violence. Not for one minute would a village or a town be allowed to have the amount of death, 3-year-olds being shot in the head. A 3-year-old gets shot in the head in East Aurora. You've got a sheriff that's going to need major explanations. And Channel 2, 4, and 7 will be there every day covering that story. WBN would be there every day. How could someone get shot in the head at 3 years old in East Aurora? How is that possible? But we're conditioned. We believe, well, that's city life. That's what happens in the city.
No.
It's unacceptable. You could shut it down tomorrow, Jen.
I'm in the city. I don't expect that. And I still think that we keep ignoring the fact that the crime is, I'm sorry, but in the black community. And why is that different?
So what would happen if you as a city got together, started a militia, and a bunch of white and black people with ARs showed up in those communities and decided to police them yourselves? What do you think the response would be from Buffalo? Or what do you think the response would be from the community? I think people would lose their mind.
Yes, but it's kind of like they're policing themselves right now. The gangs are. There are so many shootings going on right now. And I think a lot of it has to do that the cops feel like their hands are tied. And
I agree 100% with you. Moreover, I'm telling you, there's a way to fix this and crush these gangs. We've been doing it for the last 170 years in the United States. We're expert at knocking down gangs. It's the one thing American law enforcement can do better than anything else in the world is crush gangs. All it takes is the ability to work with the community. If the community doesn't want it to happen, it won't happen. And I'm telling you right now, we got people from New York City and Queens in the city of Buffalo dictating to Buffalonians how they expect to be treated by law enforcement. And if you have that continuing relationship, it's never going to work. You have to have people that believe in law enforcement to be able to have law enforcement shut down these gangs. And if they don't have that trust, it's gone. And every day that trust is being eroded by people that talk Black Lives Matter and socialism and defund the police. It's sick. Innocent people are dying.
Who are they talking to?
What's that?
And what communities are they talking to? I think the bottom line is I agree with you with, you know, the police officers and we have to get control over this crime. But I still think it's a cultural difference. And I guess we're going to agree to disagree on this, David.
You got it. I'm just saying that what the Black Lives Matter people want is communication on, you know, in the community to be based around white people see black people as this. All black people, and Jen, I appreciate your phone call. All black people have been told for literally since Reconstruction is how black people are perceived. Black people are perceived to be this way. Black people are perceived, and it's always whites, and it's always white liberals, quite frankly. White liberals that happen to be Republican, white liberals that happen to be Democrats, but they're always white progressives who believe they know what's best for the black community. They created these cities. They created the city boundaries. They created the communities. Everything has been designed by white liberals in the Northeast. This is the way everything will work in harmony. And black people push back. And sometimes it's organic. Sometimes it's instigated. But the fact is, the more we start talking about why we're different, the more things that we talk about how white people perceive black people, we don't get any progress. We don't get anywhere. The evolution has to come in where we say, people are dying. They don't deserve to die. I love my community enough to stop it. What am I going to do to be the difference maker? What am I going to do to stop violence in the city of Buffalo? White, black, or in between? Forget the police, forget the mayor. What are you willing to do to make sure innocent people don't die? Because if you don't have an answer, you're a part of the problem. Either disconnect from the debate or you're actually part of the problem that's facilitating this. Buffalonians are dying. They're getting shot at. They don't deserve to die. They don't deserve to live in fear. What are you going to do to be a difference maker? We'll take your call at 803-0930, 1-800-616. WBEN. We'll take your calls after that.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
You know, about an hour ago, actually, the Buffalo News held a press conference. This would be the guild, the union of the people working at the Buffalo News, representing about 150 workers. And they held a press conference. And this is really what everyone's talking about locally right now. Sandra Tan joins us, not only a writer, but everyone's been following Sandra Tan for what, since like 2000. You've been in the area covering news. Went to Columbia School of Journalism, which, you know, is pretty damn impressive. Been here locally covering our stories forever. We respect you. We respect your work. Sandra Tan, thanks for joining us on the program.
Thank you, David. I'm happy to be on.
Now, it's got to be weird to be in a position where, you know, you're normally at these press conferences, you know, getting information, writing stories. This has to be the last ditch effort for very frustrated workers to be able, you know, to hold a press conference yourself to say, enough's enough. We're not taking this anymore.
You are certainly right about that. The Guild has had a long history of trying to work cooperatively with the company because we want the Buffalo News to be successful. Obviously, a healthier Buffalo News is good for the people who work here. So you're right. It takes a lot of negative, bad proposals from a company to force this out, to get our message really out to the public.
For you, Sandra, what was the straw that broke the back of everyone? What was the final push that you said, enough's enough? Anytime, you know, the purchase was made in March of 2020, you know, you expect there to be some gestation growing pains somewhere. But obviously, this response is something that you feel that this is not a current path. You're going to lose more colleagues. You're going to lose more people you know, that won't be able to provide for their families. What was the one decision that you said, that's it, we're holding a press conference?
You know, David, it wasn't one thing that broke the camel's back. We have been negotiating with the Buffalo News and Lee Enterprises since February. You know, the first 2 months that we negotiated with them, you know, we didn't utter a peep about the damaging the proposals that the company was putting forward, because we were hopeful that the company would show a willingness to compromise, to prove that they respect and value the work of people who work here at the Buffalo News, and that they respect and value the Buffalo News as a product that this community depends on. We were under the initial assumption that we would be able to reach a healthy compromise with the company because we thought we wanted the same things, which was to keep the Buffalo News strong and to make sure that it's able to continue to be the you know, authoritative source for news here in Western New York. But you know, here we are in this many months later, and they have not budged. Well, many of their most damaging proposals. I mean, they just don't want to listen to us. And so that's why we thought we needed to take this message out to the community and to ask the community to help us.
Now, what's weird about, you know, your parent company's position is that the Buffalo News, from my understanding, this is the largest paper that they actually own with far as circulation goes, correct?
I believe the St. Louis Post-Dispatch might be larger. I don't know if we have any rivals when it comes to our digital subscriptions. I know we are doing very well in that regard.
But that was supposed to be the pivot. The argument
known for owning a lot of small papers. So we certainly are. It's not the biggest, the second biggest.
But I guess my point is, though, is that the argument was that nobody reads newspapers anymore and that no one wants to hold a book in their hand. And yet the publishing industry, yeah, they've taken a step, you know, maybe backwards, but certainly people are reading newspapers and buying books. And so the argument was, well, digital is the future. The Buffalo News made a very, look, it was painful. There was a lot of skin that was shed and a lot of, you know, sacrifices that were made from known established writers in the region, but you made those changes, you made those sacrifices, and it's showing. The bottom line is showing that the digital subscriptions are up and that you're doing well. What then is the argument from the current owners that it's not good enough? What was expected?
Their argument is we want to make more money. They're a publicly traded company. Profit is the bottom line for them. They do not live and work here. They're based in Davenport, Iowa. Their position is, you know, we don't think the Buffalo News is special. We own a bunch of other papers. We want you to be like them. So they don't care about the fact that, you know, we're a Pulitzer Prize winning paper, that we have graphic artists who have received hundreds of international awards. You know, they're, you know, we want them to care more about this community, to prove that they really are a company that's going to be a good corporate citizen and a good fit for the people here in this region.
So why are you dealing with this crap? I mean, you've got a degree from Columbia. What's the average lifespan in newspapers? If you have a career for 5 years, you're a rock star. You've been around doing this for a very long time, established yourself. You can work in any market you want to. You could certainly throw up your own shingle, as many other people have, and said, hey, come to my blog. I'm going to podcast. I'm going to do my own thing. You have a following. People will read your articles because you wrote them. You're the commodity. Your ability to get your audience to come to one little, you know, tent is why you make a living and do well as a professional. Why are you dealing with this stuff? I mean, what about the people that have still been able to hang on at the Buffalo News say, after all this treatment, after all the double talk, I still want to work for this paper in this town?
You know, that is a great question, David. And, you know, the answer to that is we love and care about this community. You know, we aren't journalists. You know, we aren't customer service reps. You know, we aren't circulation managers because for the paycheck. You know, we're here because we believe in the Buffalo News. We believe in the product that we're putting out. And, you know, we are what gives the Buffalo News its value. So, yeah, I mean, we've gone through some tough times. I mean, the Buffalo Newspaper Guild has worked hand in hand with the company to try to trim down its ranks when times were tough, because we've had that relationship of respect for many years. But that is all being eroded under Lee Enterprises' ownership, and it's truly scary. Everyone in this community should be frightened about what the proposals that Lee Enterprises has on the table would mean for the news product that they get at their doorstep or online in future years if these proposals go through the way they are now.
So Sandra Tan joins us from the Buffalo News Guild. Tomorrow you're doing a byline strike, which basically means the articles that will be in the Buffalo News will not have any there won't be anything attributed to an actual writer. We won't know who's writing what.
Yes. So we did announce a byline strike that will be in effect tomorrow. Every guild member is withholding their names, their graphic likenesses, their, you know, column photos. It's all going to be withheld. This doesn't just apply to reporters. It also applies to our photographers, our graphic artists, people who would normally take credit for their own work, our editorial cartoons, that sort of thing. So there are two reporters who are out of the bureau chiefs that are not in Buffalo, who are not members of the guild, but it is a sign of just how strongly our union is, that and how they feel that they all, each and every one of them, signed the byline strike form saying, I want my byline, my credit line, my tagline withheld from our copy starting tomorrow and going forward.
I mean, that shows a tremendous amount of selflessness because, you know, let's be honest, you know, whether a product does well, ultimately, you as an individual, your work is the reason why you get, you know, paid and why you get promoted and why people read you. So there's you want your products to emulate and reflect what kind of writer and professional you are. I'm curious as to why not just not write at all. Like, why would the byline strike be more effective than perhaps just not doing a paper?
Well, we want to get paid.
Oh, so that's legitimate. So you're basically saying, look,
employee and refuse to do work.
Right. Okay.
Can protest
that's fair.
Our own way. And that's what we're doing. You know, we want the community to understand that this is a very serious issue. And it's not just an issue for us. You know, in the past, we've had press conferences. You know, we've complained about, you know, what they're doing to our healthcare benefits or the fact that we're not getting the raises we deserve. But this is the first time that any company has come in from the outside to, you know, to the daily paper of Western New York and said, you know, we want the right to ship out jobs to Mexico. You know, we want the right to send, page design jobs, you know, out to the Midwest. We don't care about the fact that you have award-winning talent at your paper. We want to do what we want to do. And, you know, if the company loses talent, it doesn't matter because we think it's going to help boost our profit margins.
I mean, listen, I really appreciate your honesty because that's the truth. You want to continue to get paid. You care about the people that you work with. You've seen people that you like and admire through no fault of their own lose their opportunity to provide for their family. And you're saying, look, you told us that there was going to be growing pains. We did everything you told. We complied. And you just keep wanting more and more. Sandra Tan, let me ask you, if a woman shows up today and says, new newspaper, and they have all the fundamental principles that you have about journalism, and it's called the Buffalo Torch, whatever you call it, and they're like, we're in business, would you jump? Do you believe that the talent of the Buffalo News, if given the option of doing their job unmolested from greed and corporate, you know, strings that are being pulled, if you could just do the job you were paid to do, would you leave the news?
You know, I happen to love the work I do. And I know I speak for many of us who've stuck it out here. They believe in the mission of the Buffalo News. We actually love and value the work that we do. And all we are asking for is for Lee Enterprises to care and love the Buffalo News as much as we care and love it. We do not do this to get rich. We do this because we believe we have a mission to inform this community, to make sure that we hold people in power to account for the things that they are supposed to be doing on behalf of the people who live here. We take that mission seriously. And, you know, we come into work every day dedicated to doing that job because that's a job that matters. And I would say the same thing for the people in customer service. I would say the same thing for our folks in accounting, the same thing for our folks who handle the circulation and delivery of your paper. You know, we all believe in that same mission. And we just simply don't believe that you can send jobs out to Mexico, to Madison, Wisconsin, to Richmond, Virginia, and expect that those people are going to care about how stories are written, about how they're laid out and designed. You know, for them, you know, we are just one more paper that's going to fall into a cookie cutter template that they're going to spit out. And, oh, by the way, all of those late sports scores that you're used to getting because we have local people here to handle that work, you're not going to get that either because our page designers have moved on to the next paper, in their hub. You know, Western New Yorkers deserve more than that. They really do.
I mean, you guys are super passionate. I don't think anyone regardless of, you know, the way politics, everything gets in the way. Western New Yorkers should stand up for us, other Western New Yorkers that want to keep their jobs. I don't think that's a political partisan point. I don't think you have to be a subscriber of the Buffalo News to be pro-Buffalo News worker. I mean, I don't want people in Kansas City to have jobs that people in Buffalo have. I want you to, you know what I'm saying? I'm for Buffalo workers, and I think everyone should be for you guys in this fight. But here's my argument. Is it possible that if in the effort of a righteous protest, that you're, I mean, can you recover from just bashing Lee to the point where, you know, at some point you put the Band-Aids on and maybe have a cup of coffee and say, let bygones be bygones? But Sandra, you're really nailing these guys like hard. And there's a billboard out there. You're doing the byline strike. That press conference was on point. That was effective. Message has been received, Sandra Tan. They're hearing you. What do you do? How do you move forward once they give you what you want?
Okay. So, you know, several things. Number one, we aren't trying to attack the company. We are appealing to Lee Enterprises to be a better corporate citizen, to care about the people of Western New York, and to invest in Buffalo, to invest in Buffalo, in the Buffalo News, to invest in our city, not to siphon out jobs and money to the Midwest or to Mexico or wherever. You know, we have tried repeatedly to get that message across the table to them, and we don't think they're hearing us. And because of that, that's why we are being very aggressive in taking the message out to the community. But we are not trying to attack the company. We actually want this company to succeed. And they can't succeed without investing in the people who work here. And I'd like to make one other point. This is not a one-sided political issue when it comes to wanting to support local jobs here. We have more than 20 elected officials on both sides of the aisle who are standing with us. You know, we have the 11-member Erie County Legislature. They signed a unanimous resolution in support of the Guild. We have Democratic Assembly members and senators who have supported us. We've had Erie County Comptroller Stefan Mihailu support us. All right? So there is consensus among the leaders of this community that what is happening to the Buffalo News and to the workers of the Buffalo Newspaper Guild is wrong. So we hope.
And Sandra, I think we can all say that I think this is a unified front. I really do. And just from the feedback I'm getting while talking to you right now, it's a unified front. There are people that are saying this is a 716 issue. It's not a Buffalo News issue. We want Buffalo, we want a healthy newspaper, and we want healthy discourse. We want our stories from our people, and we want the Buffalo News to be healthy. I think that's, the community needs that.
And you know what? I have to tell you how gratified we've been about the outpouring of support from the public. We put out a petition. We posted it on Monday, our community petition. Within 3 days, we've had more than 1,000 signatures, and we are putting out the public appeal for more people to go to the protectlocaljournalism.com website to sign our petition and to add their own note talking about how much the Buffalo News means to this community. This is a community asset. You know, Lee Enterprises might own it, but our feeling is, as a guild, it's the community. It's the community that it serves that are the true owners of this product. And they have a say in what happens to their local paper, and they should speak out.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You're very persuasive. I love it. I love it. You're fired up. And that press conference, listen, I mean, you can say that you laid up on them, but I'm telling you, there was contact made, Sandra. And that was quite aggressive, but the ends are going to end up justifying the reasons why you're doing it. And hopefully people's jobs will be saved. So many people that do things that don't show up on a byline that are so important to that newspaper. And we can't have a healthy community without having a newspaper of record. You just can't. And whether you agree with the articles or you disagree with the articles, the Buffalo News makes us better. And the Buffalo, it's a part of what we do. And WBN needs it. You need us. It's a part of the synergy of all the journalists work together. They're on the same side. So, Sandra, thank you for your time. I wish you the best in your efforts. Anytime you need a platform, you come right here and we'll give it to you.
I will be happy to come back anytime, and I could not have said it better myself, David. So thank you so much for having me on.
I appreciate that. That's Sandra Tan with the Buffalo News Guild. They are righteously upset. 150 jobs are at stake, and they're fighting back. And, man, they're fighting back. And I'll tell you, if this is the – could you imagine, like, there are a lot of people that will make their political points with the Buffalo News. I've been hit by them. Everyone's been hit by them, right? But they've also been very kind and written stories that were, you know, decent. It's impossible. You can't – there's no – there's whether it's McCarthy or Zremsky or Sandra Tan. I mean, look, you're going to – you got personalities, you're going to have some things that you agree with or disagree with. But by and large, you know, WBEN is a juggernaut. We have the numbers. We know what our audience is. We know what goes on there. But the Buffalo News, the relationship is really not adversarial. It really isn't. I mean, when a plane crashes, an officer is killed, those stories work hand in hand, and those journalists work together all the time. And what you saw at that press conference today were people from all over journalism in Western New York saying, hey, this could easily be us. You know, we want to protect our own. We want to protect the industry. And again, I respect it. I want Buffalo people to have jobs. I don't really care what your politics are. I don't care if you like me or hate me. I'd rather see a Buffalo person that hates me be able to feed their family than a person from St. Louis that loves me feed their family. Because that person that loves me in St. Louis isn't my neighbor. You know, they don't root for the Bills. I'm all about Bills fans. That's it. Hey, we've got a lot going on. We're going to have Dr. Mark Epstein come up after the break.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.